time when all will surprise you what the Lord has done. That happens sometimes, his keys are mixed up. And your many, let's just go back to the start, Mossy said, so try it in this key. And on all lies below. Small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. This is what I tell you.
Praise the Lord. I get to turn to the book of Isaiah this morning in chapter 55. We're reading this morning, and it's just one verse here. Just Isaiah the prophet in chapter 55 and verse 1 that says these words: "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." I'll just ask the Lord again to bless his word. Our Father, we thank and praise you for this opportunity again to come into your house. And we thank you, Lord, for the words we've been singing. And we pray, Lord, that you'll come again, Lord, and we know you're here. We ask you, Lord, you'll visit us. You'll speak to us. You'll help us, Lord. And Lord, you'll help us to bring the context out of the text this morning. And Lord, I pray you'll just speak to your people and bless them. Meet needs in this room this morning, Lord. And may we be obedient to what you're trying to say, Lord. And help us, we pray. Lord, help me this morning to deliver what you have put on my heart, Lord. And speak to your people and bless them. And Lord, we ask you'll close us in with yourself this morning. And Lord, take away anything that would distract or anything that would hinder, we pray you'll block it. And we pray, Lord, you'll loose your Holy Spirit among us. Amen. And upon us, Lord. Yes, innocent Jesus. Through us.
Amen.
And we'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise. And we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. We pray you bless it now to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may have your seats this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you stand up here and you don't really have anything to say, or you think you don't have anything to say, and then you wonder, sometimes when you're asked to bring a word, you wonder what you're going to say and what you're going to do. And, you know, we're really relying on the Lord to come and quicken to us his word. And I don't remember if I tried to speak from this portion of scripture recently. I can't really remember. Maybe I did, but I remember one time, a long time ago, I was speaking from it. And it was one of them meetings where you would say that it didn't really get off the ground. One of them meetings, you know, where it was like a drag and it was so hard. So sometimes, you know, it can be hard to get across what the Lord is wanting to say. And sometimes we make an issue when there is no issue. Sometimes we make it difficult for ourselves. But you know, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Amen.
That means there's a freedom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, the word of God is not bound.
Amen.
There's nothing that can put God's word in a box.
That's right.
There's things that can hinder or try to hinder. But when God says something, God has a purpose in what he says.
Amen.
And when God's purpose will take place, that's a better way to say it. Now, you know, here I have written down some things here because I want to try to itemize some of the things here. And it's only one verse, but there's several different things in it that I want to draw to your attention, even though you already know these things. Now, I cannot come, and I say this often maybe, I cannot come and tell you something new out of the scripture because it might be new to you, but it's not new. It's there all the time. And I don't come and say I've got a new revelation. Well, that's very dangerous sometimes when people say them things. Well, anyway, first of all, I want you to know the verse starts off with the word ho. Ho. And ho's not a word that we use really today. Sure it's not. And you know, there's an instrument called a ho. And it's a thing like a pick. If anybody, most people in here would know what a pick is. If you're telling of a pick and shovel, it's for breaking up the ground. It's for breaking up the ground. And so's a hoe. And the first time in my life when I heard the word hoe, it was an instrument and it was used for hoeing out winds. It's an instrument for breaking up the ground. And I went to the dictionary and I looked up the word hoe. Without trying to be a Bible study this morning, I've listed some of the things that the word ho can mean. And it has several different meanings. And it depends, really, if you're talking about a hoe for the hoe of the ground, or just the word ho. And the word ho here in the dictionary, it defines itself as surprised. Surprised. You know, sometimes God can speak to you when you don't expect it. God can surprise you. You know, I believe sometimes he wants to surprise us. Sometimes when you're not expecting God to come on the scene, God can just come on the scene and speak to you, surprise you. You're not maybe interested in what he has to say, but he's interested in telling you what he wants you to know. That's a great difference, isn't it? When God wants you to know something, when God wants to tell you something, wants your attention, he wants you to listen. And so that word ho can be defined as surprised or surprise. And also can be defined as indignation. You know, sometimes maybe the Lord has indignation, when I can get my tongue round that. Maybe he has indignation with us because we're not really paying attention, maybe. Or we're maybe not listening. Or maybe there's a resource that we can get a hold of and we're neglecting that. There's maybe something there to give us more or to help us to achieve, and we are neglecting that part, and it's causing indignation with the Lord. And you know, I went into a field to bring out cattle. I'll give you this example. And I opened the gate, but they wouldn't come out. They had no grass. And there was a field with long grass, better grass. They wouldn't go. I went into a field to bring cattle out, and I opened the gate, and there was one came up to the gate and wouldn't go through it, and made a hole in the hedge beside the gate and went through it. If God's leading you a certain way, you just go that way.
Amen.
If he's leading down a certain road, you just go that road. Don't go your own road. Go the road to straight. Gate's open. The door's open. Go through it. Don't go around some other way.
Amen.
Don't take the awkward road. You ever hear that old saying here? You used to, don't hear this much now about some people that say, "Oh, sure, he's as awkward as a pig going to hook." There's people in here never seen a pig, maybe. You never missed a whole lot. But indignation. But there's another, and I don't want to bore you to death with this. It can mean also admiration. Admiration. God has got admiration in you. God's got an affection for you. God admires you. If the Lord is saying, how do you could mean admiration for you? He's thinking about you, letting you know that God's thinking about you. And also, there's another one, and I believe this is the most important one, and I may be wrong, this is only my thought. This word "who" can also mean call for attention. It's a call for you to attend unto what the Lord is trying to say to you.
Amen.
Pay attention. You know, when I was in school, the teacher often had to tell me that. McKinstry, pay attention. She didn't address you as your first names, or he didn't always. It was always sharp. It was more sharper, but if they just said, McKinstry. I remember walking into the class like I thought I was a Russian soldier. But the teacher watched me, and then when I got to my desk, the teacher said, right, McKinstry, out, come in proper. I had to go out and come back in normal. But attention. You see, we have got a habit in this country, and Christians have it. You know what it is? See, when they go to church and the minister or the pastor or someone stands up and says something, oh, it's a word from the Lord. Our main theme is, well, that's not for me. That's a danger. That's not for me. That's for brother so-and-so. That's for sisters. No, when God says something, it's for you.
Amen.
God's speaking, and he's speaking to you. He's not speaking to the person beside you. It's you. And we have a habit sometimes that we say, oh, no, I know, that's not for me. Now, when I say that, I say it in a good respect, if you understand what I mean. If God tells you he's going to do something good in your life, if God tells you he's going to do something great in your life, if God tells you he's going to do something more in your life, and sometimes we say, oh, that's not for me, when all the time it's the Lord he's trying to get our attention. And I believe the Lord wants our attention.
Amen.
He wants our attention. He wants us to be listening. He wants us to hear. Whenever he speaks, he wants us to hear. He doesn't want us to brush it off and say, oh, I know that's true, but I don't think that's for me. I don't think that applies to me. That doesn't really apply to me. That's not for me. But here, the Lord, I believe, through the prophet Isaiah, is speaking, and he's saying, he's addressing everyone that thirsts. So there's the answer to what maybe I'm trying to say. You can't say this is not for you. This is for everyone. Now, there's categories for this everyone. There's two categories that makes you fit the invite. And the number one category is everyone that thirsts. Are you thirsty? Everyone that thirsts. If you're thirsting, this invitation from God, and this is what this is, this invitation is for you this morning in this meeting. If you are thirsty, this invitation is especially directed at you. And there's another criteria that you and me has to meet, and it's not a very big, as it says, everyone that thirsteth, you have to come to the waters. And really and truly, that's what I want to speak about, coming to these waters. And this is another criteria that you need to have to fit the bill. You're asked to come and you're asked to buy, but you're asked to come to buy without money. Without money. Now I'll come back to that. But I tell you, this is a supernatural book. And when you read this Bible, and when you come to the Lord, you're not working with the natural. You're working with the supernatural. You're working with a being that is far above man. You're not working with man's ability. You're working with God's ability. Amen. You're not working with a natural ability. You're working with a supernatural ability. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, God says, if you're thirsty, this is for you. Now, I want to just briefly, I want to look, because I want to say this also in case I forget. This is an invitation. And let me bring it more home. This is God's invitation to you this morning. This is God's invitation to this church in 2023, at almost the end of August. This is God's invitation to this assembly gathered here this morning in this place. And God has an invitation for you. And he says, if you're thirsty, that's one of the qualifications. Now, what are we thirsting for? Or what are we thirsting after? Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, blessed is them that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And you know, it's good to have a hunger and a thirst. If you don't have a thirst, you can never drink. And the invite is to come to the waters. But you need to have a thirst on you. You know, I don't want to get off the track this morning, but listen, and I'll try to quote you a quote that one of the Wright brothers said. Now, the Wright brothers goes back a long way, and they invented the airplane. And I always remember a quote that Brother John McFadden told me once, and he said that one of the Wright brothers was quoted as saying this. He said he was afflicted with a great desire to fly. He was afflicted with this great desire to fly. He had got the thirst on him. He'd got the hunger on him. You know, in 2023, if there's anything that we need, is a hunger for God. Amen. It's a hunger for the things of God. Amen. It's a thirsting for the things of God. It's a hunger and a thirsting after righteousness, because this world's an evil world and Jesus is coming again. And you know, God's people need to have that thirst on them, and God's people need to have that hunger on them. And God's inviting you, and he's inviting me to come to the waters. But you need to have the thirst on you. You see, too easy to get a thirst for other things. Now, I'm not saying we have a thirst for other things, but if you get a thirst for other things, them other things become like a thorn. They become a thorn. And they choke the word. The cares of this world, they choke the word, and we become unfruitful. You know, God needs to give us a thirst for the things of God. Amen. For the gifts of God. Amen. For the purpose of God, for the workings of God among us. That we'll have that thirst, and that we'll have that hunger, and that we'll want this water. Now, let me say this, that you're invited if you have that thirst on you. And God, I pray, is my prayer that he'll give us that thirst. And he'll keep on giving it to us.
Amen.
That we'll not just say, I was thirsty yesterday, but I'm no longer thirsty. God wants us to be thirsty all the time, I believe. He wants us to be hungering after him. You know what the church needs today? It needs a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It needs a mighty revival. You know, some people said revival's here. Some people believe that revival's here now. Well, I don't. I believe there's more.
Amen.
There's more. And we need revival. We need revival in 2023. If ever the church needs a revival, it's now. We need a mighty move of God. We need a mighty thirst of God. Now, listen, I was just reading some things recently about Charles Spurgeon. And whenever he was preaching, the people came in thousands. He had a church where the regular attendance was 4,000 people, sometimes 5,000 people. And there was one of the times, I don't know if it was before, I need to go back and check it out, but there was a crisis in the country, and the Prime Minister, he called for a day of prayer and fasting. The Prime Minister in 10 Downing Street called for a day of prayer and fasting, and the whole nation of Britain went into prayer and fasting. And Charles Spurgeon was invited to go, I think it was Crystal Palace Football Stadium. And he went there to preach on the Sunday. There was 24,000 people came to that meeting. What would you get today? What's wrong today? Thirst's not there. Gone from the nation. Righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproof unto any people. And we have people today in 10 Downing Street, and who they are, they're liars. First and foremost, they're liars. But the Lord has put them there. But the nation has turned their back away and walked away from God. Why? They've lost the thirst. And then somebody, now God bless anybody who believes we're in revival. God bless you if you believe we're in revival now. But I don't believe we're in revival. I believe there's more. Amen. And I believe we need more. And I believe we can have more. And I believe if God puts the thirst on you, he puts it on you so you'll want it. Thirsting. Would you see the world? Somebody said about a man one time that said he was so heavenly minded, he was no earthly use. But now what do they say now? They say now they're so earthly minded, they're no heavenly use. You see, somebody said we need to get the world into the church. And they brought the world into the church. You know, there's a meeting in Bond Bridge, and you go to that meeting, I'll tell you, there's a platform up there, and there's flashing lights. And the people are sitting in the dark. They're sitting in the dark in the natural, and they're sitting in the dark in the spiritual too. And there's smoke coming up. They can push a button, and they bring smoke up behind the stage. They can push another button and there's a light flashing. There's a light comes over the pulpit. What have they done? They've made themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Amen. Broken cisterns. And have forsaken me, saith the Lord, the true fountain of water. See, that's man. That's when man gets in the way. And man starts to try to do it himself. That's when man gets his wallet out and says, I'll pay. I can pay. No, this stuff here can't be bought with your wallet. Amen. You buy this here without money. Amen. The natural, you see, doesn't do it. You need the spiritual to do it.
Amen.
Need the Holy Ghost to come in the room.
Amen.
Need the Holy Spirit to come on you.
Amen.
Oh, glory. See, God never withdrew this invitation. This invitation is as fresh today as and alive today as it was when Isaiah the prophet spoke it under the Spirit of the living God. It's still alive today. Hallelujah. God's word doesn't have a use by date. God's word is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
Can't be changed. Hallelujah. Now, there's an invite there to come if you're thirsting. Oh, there's a wee chorus about that. We could sing it maybe sometimes. If you're thirsty and dry, turn your eyes to the sky. It's beginning to rain. God's got an abundance of water. And you're to come to the thirst, and you come ye to the waters. The waters, you see the waters by us. there's waters today. There's waters today, and there'll be waters tomorrow. And Jesus spoke about water, didn't he? Well, let me go on. It says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Now, I want to, just before I go away from the word thirst, and maybe I have went away from it, but you know, there's something that we need to be thirsting after at the moment. You know what it is? It's a building.
Amen.
It's a building.
Amen.
God wants you to put the thirst on you. Are you content to sit here? You see, the devil tells you to sit down and relax. Well, I know where we don't paddle the bicycle. This is free. You don't have to pay for this. But would to God it put the thirst on us. A greater thirst. You say, oh, brother, have that thirst. Well, you need a greater one. John McKinsey needs a greater thirst to get our own building.
Amen.
Get a building where the Lord will put his name.
Amen.
And where we will have free access.
Amen.
And you know, just when I'm on it, let me drop this in. You know, the first thing that comes to mind comes in here among the sawdust when I start thinking about a building. You know, the first thing that comes to mind? Money. But what does this verse say? It says, don't need money.
Amen.
Don't need money. I want you to tell that to Satan. We don't need money to get ourselves another building. We don't need money to get a building we can call our own. This God can give us the money.
Amen.
God can give you the money. Yeah. If it's money you're worried about, God can give it to you. Hallelujah. But listen, let me tell you this too. And I believe it's all part of this. It's all part of this, what the Lord is trying to say. He says, you come and you buy. You buy and you're buying without money. Come you to buy, and when you do buy, there's something that you have to do with the product that you receive. You have to eat. Don't you ask the Lord for more if you haven't used what you have got. I'm going to say that again. Don't you ask the Lord to give you more whenever you have not used what you have. Eat what you have. Use what you have. Now listen, I know we're looking at another building. But while we're looking at that other building, we're going to eat this place. No matter what the devil says,
amen.
No matter what the enemy says, we are going to eat this place. Hallelujah. We're going to use what we have. We're going to use what we have. We're going to eat what the Lord has given us. And should it be large or should it be small? Should it be great or should it be mighty? Or should it be the least of the least? We are still going to eat that. We're going to use it.
Amen.
I believe that's what the Lord wants us to know. Use what you have.
Right.
Now, you see, if you go to the Lord, you say, Lord, I need you to give me money. And I'm only using money. It doesn't have to be money. But you say, Lord, I need you to give me money. And you get your bank statement. And you maybe look at, I know it's definitely not going to happen with me. And maybe not happen with you. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here. Listen, if you've got thousands in your bank, if you've got hundreds in your bank, and 100 days you away, or 1,000 days you away, but you have thousands in there and you're asking the Lord to give you more, what's he going to say? What about the reserves that you have? I believe that's guilty. I believe it's guilty to ask the Lord for something that you already have and not using it. You know, I'm not going to say any more. I only want you to get that across. God says, when you bat, eat it. And what is it? What happens to you when you eat? You get something when you eat that will sustain you.
Amen.
You get something when you eat that will keep you going away. Isn't that right? I heard a man one time, and his wife made him his dinner, and he went in to eat his dinner, and the wife says to him, "What did you think of that?" He says, "It'll do me till I get something." Well, he'd have made it himself, he'd have thought more of it, maybe. But when you eat in the natural, it sustains you. It gives you sustainability. It keeps you going. It gives you strength. It gives you nourishment. And God wants to give you nourishment, and he wants to give you strength, and he wants to give you something that will sustain you. He wants to feed you. Bad and eat it. Bad and eat it. And you know you're not really bad. It's free. Although the word says bad, desire it. Are you hungering for it? Have you got the hunger on you? Have you got the thirst on you? Amen. Do you want that?
Amen.
Do you want a mighty move of God? Do you want a place of your own? Do you want the power of God? Have you got the hunger on you for it? This is what the Lord is saying. He says, don't bad and knock it away. Eat it. And you don't. He says, now listen. And you know, Jesus said, or the Bible says here, I've written this down. He had half no money. We're invited to buy and eat. And just before I pass on this money issue, in the natural world, the money is the ability to purchase. Isn't that right? If you've got the money, you've got the ability to buy. You've got the ability to purchase. And then you see, when you come to God, you're coming here, you don't need money. Money doesn't do it here. The natural world doesn't do it here. And then you're standing, what way does God want you to come? God wants you to come the way you are, but God wants you to come realizing and recognizing that you have no ability of your own. God wants you to realize that you can never attain up to this. You see, there's people preaching today, and they're preaching there's a set of rules that you need to live by. There's something else you need to do. You need to do this and you need to do that. If you don't do this and you don't do that, you can't do this for God, and you can't do something else. But when you come to the bank of heaven,
Amen.
When you come there, all you have to do is present a name. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All you have to do is present a name, and all you have to do is to come in that name.
Amen.
And when you come in the name of Jesus, you're not coming in your own ability, or you're not coming in your own holiness, or your own righteousness, or your own good works. Nothing at all. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. You see, God wants you to come, and he wants you to know you have no ability. You have no ability of your own. You don't deserve it. That's where mercy comes in.
Amen.
God in his mercy.
Amen.
God in his mercy loved you. God in his mercy still loves you. You know, I've written it down here, and I'm not going to turn till it. When you buy without money means you have no ability of your own. You have no ability of your own. We never earned it, or we never climbed up any other way. Jesus said he was the door of the sheepfold. He says, I am the door. If any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, he that climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. See, we can't climb up some other way. The Lord doesn't want you to climb. You can't do it. That's the wrong way. God's way is a straight way. God's way, there's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. Not God and man. God and man. Everybody. God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the one that will bring you into the presence of God. Hallelujah. He's the Holy Ghost baptizer.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Saith he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. I hope you're eating this morning. I hope you're eating what you have. I hope you're using what you have. Let it be little, let it be large. Use what you have. Use what God has given you. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Use it. I believe that's how people get more.
Amen.
You want more of God? Use what you have of God. Use it. And you'll get more. But then there's something else here. Now, we're eating, I believe, and it's going to sustain us. It's going to keep us going. And we're using what we have. And then there's something else here. It says, buy wine and milk. Now, it's all in that verse. It's all in the one verse. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk. Wine and milk. Without money. And without price. You know, I want to say something about wine, and I want to also say something about milk. You know, these is nearly two opposites. Wine and milk's nearly two opposites. Now, maybe if I can bring it across, you'll maybe see why they're nearly two opposites. But I believe the wine represents the old, and the milk represents the young. Now, what does that tell me? That tells me it doesn't matter what age you are. Never say you're too old. Never say you're too young. The invitation's to you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. The invitation is to you. And you know, the devil wants to tell you, perhaps you're too old. And on the other hand, perhaps he wants to tell you you're too young. Well, God says you're neither. He says, buy wine and buy oil. Or sorry, there's oil and wine in Zion. We all know that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The city of our God. But here he's talking about wine and milk. Now, what does the wine represent? Look, well, the wine can represent a lot of things. In the Bible, and when Jesus took the bread, he took the wine, he said, this wine is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for remission of sins. And he says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So here, the wine was speaking about the blood. And let me tell you, when the wine speaks about the blood speaks about the life. There's no life outside of the blood. There's no natural life outside of the blood in your flesh and bones and veins. And there's no spiritual life outside of the life that was on the blood, which was the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say that again for maybe mix it up a bit, but the blood of Jesus was the life of God. And it was the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of God's only begotten Son. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. And you know, when you come to the wine, you're coming to the blood. Hallelujah. And there's a cleansing power in that wine. And there's a flow. Hallelujah. To make you clean and to keep you clean. It's the blood. And there's a life behind the blood that is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is life eternal. But let me say this, wine goes through a process. You don't just get wine overnight. But there's something about wine, real wine. Real wine is mature. So God wants you to have something that is mature. Inside of your soul, you've got maturity with the wine of the Holy Ghost. And God wants to give you that wine that makes you mature, men and women, in the Holy Spirit of the living God. And God has got wine for you today. He's got mature wine. He's got something that's seasoned. What else does it mean? Something that will stand the test of time. You know what? I'm going to tell you this about wine, and you probably know more about wine than I do. But you can put wine in a bottle, and you can taste that wine, and you can put the cork in that bottle, and you can store it away for 100 years, right? We're not going to be here 100 years unless the Lord comes back. But listen, you can store that wine away for years upon years upon years. And when you go back and take the cork off, it's still the same wine. It hasn't changed. It's mature. Yes, it's mature. But it's still the same wine. It's still the same power. It's still the same ability. What did Brother Branham say about wine? He said it was stimulation of revelation. It's still got that power to stimulate you. It's still got that power to make your heart rejoice. God wants to give you wine. His wine. And I tell you, His wine keeps forever. It doesn't go out of date. You know, farmers, I said this, I'm saying it again. Forgive me. I know that now, farmer. I like to call them owl farmers, because most of them are owl farmers. But this owl farmer said to me one day, he says, John, who's the smart man that puts the dates on the products, the food products in the supermarkets? He says, how does he know that tomorrow you can't eat that egg? Now you think about that. How does he know? Who is it? How does he get that wisdom? Sell by date, use by date. My woman, my wife, she could open a shop with things that are out of date. I tell you, we buy. But we always don't eat. And then goes into the cupboard. Oh, I can't use that. My wife went into the cupboard, and bless her heart, she found a bag of flour. And she wanted to bake a cake, and she says, I can't use that flour. I says, what's wrong with it? It's out of date. I says, how long is it out of date? Oh, it's out of date over a week. We darn't. You know, if you get barley, if you get seed barley and you dry it, or you don't dry it, you let it winter. What's that big word? You let it dry natural. It'll grow. It'll reproduce after 50 years. God seeds the same. The seed, the life is in itself. But man comes along and he wants to pervert things. Now I'm not telling you to eat stuff that's out of date or buy all that. No, I'm not telling you that. But what I am saying, God has got material that's preserved forever.
Amen.
God's wine never runs out of date. And God's gifts never run out of date. Now you're listening well, and I'm coming to the close. Forgive me. I can go astray sometimes. Listen. You're to buy the wine and you're to buy the milk. Now, let me tell you this. I said I wanted to tell you something about wine. Wine is made through a process of something that's seasoned, or something that is mature. And when you drink God's wine, you'll become mature. And you'll start to mature with the wine of the Holy Spirit. It'll make you mature. It'll make you deep, take you deep. You know, the woman at the well said to the Lord, sir, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. And Jesus said, if you knew who asked you for a drink, you would ask of me and I would give you living water. And she says, Lord, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. But let me tell you this. The well that Jesus was going to draw from was deeper than the well that was at Samaria.
Amen.
The well that he was drawn from was way before the foundation of the world. That's how deep it was.
Amen.
And it was higher than the highest heaven.
Amen.
It was lower than the lowest hell. And it doesn't matter where you have been or where you are, you can draw from that well today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus can bring you water with rejoicing right in the wells of salvation. His well's the deepest well. And the water has never changed. It's still the same. Hallelujah. What about the milk? I think it was Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that you may grow thereby. There's a power in milk that makes you strive. But let me say this about milk. You know this, and I know it. What does milk have to be? Fresh. God wants to give you something that's fresh.
Amen.
I'm not saying he wants to give you something that's new. He wants to give you something that's fresh. He wants to give you fresh milk every morning for your breakfast. Does it not sound funny, but it's true. God in the spiritual world wants to give you fresh milk every day. You see, wine will keep. Milk will not keep. Wine keeps. Milk will not keep. You put a bottle of milk and put it in the cupboard. Leave it for 2 weeks and go back. What do you got? You've got the makings of buttermilk. You need to get the churn out. Start churning. And then you'll get buttermilk. But we need something that's fresh.
Amen.
You know, when I think about fresh, you know the first thing comes into my head? A fresh vision for the lost. You know, there's churches today and they're sitting and they've become stagnant. Is that the right word? They have stopped growing. They've stopped, they've left off to mature. They never got to maturity. But not only did they never get to maturity, they never got the sincere milk of the Word of God to make them grow. And they've become stagnated. They have nothing fresh. And go through a routine, go through a program, and no fresh vision. No thought for the lost.
You see, when people have no thought for the lost, they have no thought for anybody else. And it becomes me and our group. Our group. Our man. Have you heard our man? Have you been to our group? Our group, we do this, we do that. We don't have prayer meetings. I tell you, that's a sin.
Amen.
It's a sin not to pray. When the people come down to Samuel the prophet and ask Samuel what he prayed for them, and what does Samuel say? He says, God forbid that I would sin and ceasing to pray for you.
Amen.
God forbid that I would sin and cease to pray for you. But listen, that's not what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you this morning, God has something fresh. He can give you a fresh vision. But what else can he give you? He can give you a fresh anointing. He can give you a fresh touch. He can give you a fresh healing. He can give you a fresh deliverance. Oh, where do you get this from? Where is this bank? Where's this storehouse? It's in the Holy Ghost. It's in the waters. He said, come ye to the waters. Come to the water. Oh, you know them wee courses. Come to the water, there is a vast supply. There's a river. Oh, hallelujah, there's a river this morning, or it's maybe afternoon now, but God has got a river, and God's got waters for you and me to swim in. God doesn't run dry. You know, has he given you something freshly recently? Has he given you wine recently? Well, he says, I have wine for you this morning or this afternoon. I've got milk for you. You know, I don't want to sound flippant this morning, but I work with cattle, cows and calves. And there's not a thing that will make a calf grow. It's milk. Milk. And if anything a calf needs, it needs fresh milk every day. You know, when a newborn baby's born, what does it need? Milk. And fresh milk every day. And you know what happens to them calves? You know what happens to them babies? They start to thrive. That means to grow. I know you know what it means. Start to grow, start to thrive. You know what a calf does? Do you know if you go into a field and cattle's lying in the field and you get the cattle up? You get them up? Get up! They're just lying there and you get them up. You know one of the best signs that you can see? That a calf will stretch. You know what we need? We need a spiritual stretch. We need a spiritual stretch, as it were, to flex our muscles. And let the devil see we're thriving. You see, when you're thriving, you're not staying in the one place, you're moving. There's something happening. There's a growing process. There's a maturing process. There's a going on process. God wants us to move. God wants us to go on. And God wants us to thrive. He wants you to have the milk. He wants you to have the fresh milk.
Oh, there's only one. As Nathan said, there's only one. There's two criteria. You need to be thirsty. And you need to have no ability of your own. What did Paul say? He said, our sufficiency is of him. Hallelujah. I know I've spent your time with you rightly. Thank you very much. You have listened well. I trust the Lord will meet with you. I trust the Lord will do something for you. You know, there's more scriptures. You know, I could turn to the woman at the well. Yes, Jesus said, if you drink this water out of that well, you'll thirst. But if you drink the water that I'll give, you'll never thirst. And then John, in the book of Revelations in chapter 22, John says he saw a pure river of God coming out from the throne of God, clear as crystal. And that was in the city of God. And he said there was a river running through the city, and on the other side of the river was the tree of life. I tell you, there's life for a look at the crucified one. There's water for you today, and there's water for me. God bless you. You know, just before I sit down, we sing a wee chorus, Guy, and then Guy's going to come. I'm going to ask Guy to come. Maybe Pastor will want to come. But can we sing a wee chorus? Can we sing that wee chorus, Terry? Maybe you can play it too. Come to the waters. There is a vast supply. Do we have words for that, Matthew? You know, the Lord's inviting you to come. Come to the waters. You know, I should know it all, but I don't know it. That's that one. There was a thirsty woman. She was drawn from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell. Then she met the master who told her of her sin. He said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Praise the Lord. Matthew, show us the chorus or the next verse. There's a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain
that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. Maybe, can we sing the chorus first? And then we'll sing the verse and the chorus. And while we're singing, I'm going to go and sit down. And Pastor Tommy, if you want to come and speak with us, or man and big guy, or whatever. But most of all, you call on the Lord. You make this your prayer. Oh, hallelujah, that God would give us that thirst on us.
Amen.
The thirst for the things of God will take away all the thirst for other things. And we'll just come to this river and we'll get a drink. And we'll get some wine. We'll get something that's mature. And we'll get some fresh milk also. A freshness. A refresher course. That's what God has for us. That's what we need. We need a revival.
Amen.
Glory to God. We need a revival. Hallelujah. You believe it. You make it your prayer. And you expect the Lord to do it. Praise his holy name. Amen. Maybe I'll just pray a wee prayer and then we'll start to sing. Father, you know, Lord, your word. I claim your promise that you said your word would not return unto you void, but it would prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. And I ask you, Lord, it will prosper on me this day and prosper on all that have heard my voice this day. Not for me, not for any glory for me, Lord, but for thine own name's sake and for thine glory. And I pray, Lord, you'll help us to come without money and without price. You'll help us to buy and you'll help us to eat. Help us to use that which we already have, but help us to eat again and again. And help us, Lord, to come and get wine and get milk. And give us that which is mature and give us that also which is fresh, Lord. And keep us, Lord, we pray. Sustain us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry. There was a thirsty woman, she was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted, her soul was bound for hell. And she met the master, who told her of her sin. Said, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees.
Let's stand on our feet as we sing it. Praise the Lord.
Come to